Keegan, I already told Cassie this quaint little story that I feel like really gets into where my mindset has always been, but I feel like has been amplified by the pandemic. So I have an interview on Monday and Tuesday.
Congratulations.
And their final interviews. Thank you. I'm really excited. So I'm talking to Cassie and I'm like, do you ever do that thing in the shower where you pre-plan conversations?
100%. Yes, yes.
Because when I talk to Eric, he's like, no, I don't pre-plan. He's like, I think about like fights or conversations and then I imagine other ways
different
that
scenarios.
They could have gone.
No. Yeah. I pre-plan 100%. Same. Yes.
I do both.
Yes.
I definitely do the pre-plan. This, if they ask me this, I'm going to say this. I do that. But then I also do the post like, oh, man, I should have said X, Y,
Z.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. I do both. Yeah. I do both. But I for sure do the pre-plan 100%. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So I'm in the shower and I'm pre-planning how this interview is going to go. Mm-hmm. And somehow I got really stuck on. What if they ask me to sing a snippet of a song?
Have you ever been to a job interview where they were like, you know what? Do you know any Adele? Like, never.
Are you applying for American Idol? Like,
no.
That's the question I had.
They're like, what would you what say
job?
Your vocal range is?
Oh my God, you guys. I literally got out of the shower and I'm thinking and I'm cogent enough to think to myself, that was the craziest way to spend 15 minutes of my time trying to decide which song I would sing at my interview.
But imagine if that did happen, what would you sing?
I was going to say, what is the answer?
I did not come to one, and now I'm getting sweaty again just thinking about it, because I tried out snippets of like a bunch of different songs and none of them seemed right. So,
but why didn't they seem right? Like, I have questions. Like, what were wrong? Were they not professional enough?
Oh, no. Or it's just like, what vibe is this company? Like, what song would fit their vibe?
You know what,
that
though?
They would be like, oh, shit, she's singing that song. We got to hire her.
I could see a particularly cruel HR person being like, if this position was a song, what song would it be? And can you sing a couple bars? Like,
hey, now you're an all-star.
There you go.
Smash Mouth.
But yeah.
You come in hot with Smash Mouth.
Somebody. Oh, man.
No.
I was like, this is okay. Like, I've definitely gone through the conversations, but having to consider. And I was like, why in the world would they ask you? Like, is that part of like the resume? Like, did you put that on there?
No, there's no way. I told you guys before, and I've talked about it on the podcast, that, you know, I play the game Consequences like all the time, where I just try to figure out like all the different scenarios, all of them. But I'm like, this is such an unlikely scenario. And I've spent 15 minutes of precious shower time considering something that will absolutely not happen.
And
amazing.
But if it did,
you know, also, you know, after your interview, they're going to ask you things that you didn't consider. And you spent 15 minutes thinking about a scenario that absolutely won't happen when there are more viable scenarios out there.
Yes.
Like, why?
Yeah, pretty much. So.
No,
I mean, that's where my head's at.
I understand, though. That's me, like, all the time. I had, like, a full daydream for, like, 20 minutes the other day about, like, what I would wear and what I would sing if we went to karaoke again. Like, I was just like, what am I gonna do? It felt like I was, like, picturing myself like Lady Gaga in A Star is Born. Just, like, that light just coming up from behind. And just stunning the crowd with, I'm like, what would be my Star is Born moment on the karaoke stage when this is over?
Do you think, hypothesis time, do you think that our imaginations are becoming more vibrant or more outlandish due to the time that we've spent isolating?
Oh, I don't, it's difficult to say because, I mean, I'm still working most of the day, mm-hmm. which that absolutely stifles your creativity. And then I feel like I'm watching TV, which also doesn't give your brain a lot of space to roam.
Same. Right.
But I will say that I'm having a hard time sleeping. And I do think part of it is because I'm not working out and I'm eating like crap and I need to change those habits. But I also think mm-hmm. the other part of it is I'm having running thoughts a lot. And I think that that is yep. my imagination just going ham whenever in those yeah. moments yeah. when I'm just like chill, where I can't get my brain to quiet down enough for me to fall asleep. And I do think that that's what it is. It's just like my imagination is going off in 100 different directions.
Well, yeah, that's definitely what's happening to me, like in the shower, like just imagining. I generally pre-plan anyways, and they tend to be more grounded in reality than singing for an interview. But yeah, I've noticed lately that my scenarios when I catastrophize something that is like so outlandish. And maybe it's because of like what has happened this past year where I'm like, I definitely did not have in my plan to pandemic mm-mm. and to move mm-hmm. and to quit my job and like all this stuff. So I don't know if my brain's just like sizzle fried into yeah. something. You're like, well, now we're in the fucking Black Mirror that is your life.
It's just so, short circuiting yeah, all this. The time.
Yeah. It's like little zaps.
Pretty much.
I am doing the other side of wild imagination, which is I was talking to my son the other day. His name's Dylan. And I was thinking about like, I was like, what? I was thinking like, you know, we've talked about like what our names would have been if our, you know, we'd had other names, right? Like we've talked to our parents about that. And I was like, I need to tell Dylan what his name would have been. And I was like, you know, I honestly had thought about the name Bo and Sebastian. Mm-hmm. I really liked the name Sebastian. But then I was like, how do you shorten it? Anyway, ended up with Dylan. But I was like, you're lucky I didn't have you in like fifth grade, because my fifth grade name for a child was Axel, 100%. I had Axel written down.
You know what? This leads me directly into a Reddit post that I Amazing. Had found. Okay. So there was an Am I the Asshole post, and I think you guys are going to okay. really appreciate it.
Okay.
Am I the asshole for not letting my boyfriend name our daughter Renesmee?
No. No. You're not
the asshole. NTA, girl. No. You save that baby's life.
And it cracked me up because, okay, my boyfriend and I are both 18 and 35 weeks pregnant with our daughter. Since the day I found out we were having a girl, he was hell-bent on naming her Renesmee. Absolutely oh refuses to compromise. He's a massive Twilight fan. I personally hate it and would much rather we don't name our child after a fictional character. Well, then it hit a boiling point because he posted a picture. She's saying, like, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. Outright refusing. He posted a picture of the two of them with him like holding her belly, and it said, I can't wait to meet you, Renesmee, on the picture that he posted. And no. then oh, he no. argued with her that since all of, he's like, well, now we have to because all of our friends saw the post, which is a terrible no. reason to name a no. child.
That's not science. That's not how it works.
And then I guess her parents are telling her that they should just let him name her because he obviously cares. He obviously, it matters a lot to him. It means so much to him. And I'm like, this no. sounds like an 18-year-old decision that you are going to, because I was thinking the same thing. Like when I was in high school, what were the things that I would have named my child? And it definitely would have been something
well,
wild.
Technically I was 18 when I had my son. So Dylan was my 18-year-old name.
Much Sound better choice. Than Axel.
Yeah, much better than my fifth grade names. But no. It means that much to him to have her named that. It means that much, maybe more, for me to not have her fucking
100%. Like, you have to think this through. It wasn't a good name in the Never. Movie, first of all.
It yeah, wasn't. And he's like, no room to compromise. It's like, you can't name her Renee. Or Esme, like, or have it be a middle name, or like any kind
or
of compromise at all.
Pick another name from Twilight,
or
if you honestly insist on naming your baby after a Twilight character, Alice, Bella, hi, any other name that exists in that franchise would be better.
Like, literally any other name in that franchise would be better.
And then her 100%. Mom, like, her parents being like, look, it obviously means a lot to him. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm pushing a baby out of my body. I think I would have more of a say.
I would have every nurse on check in that hospital. Like, I don't care who says what.
Do not put it on the birth certificate. Do not do it.
Yep. Do not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it'd be my nightmare. It'd be my worst fear that I would, like, pass out and not be able to, like, say
something. No, we're changing that shit. We're changing it.
Like, dude's like, yeah, we decided. It's Renesmee.
Don't you have to sign the birth certificate?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, look, also that'll get you banned from the labor and delivery room. Like, you're not coming then. Like, I'm having this baby without you. Because no.
You run away in the eighth month. Mm-mm. You're like, bye. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's too much. The only, like, name thing I had, I never thought about, like, naming my kids or anything, but I guess I used to tell my parents when I was little that I wanted to change my name to Sunshine.
Dude, and I had an imaginary
friend named Eagle. Ugh. So
amazing.
I was about to say
Samantha so I could be Sam.
That's my cousin. Her name is Samantha and she goes by Sam. But
that's cute.
But that would have, like, I would have definitely chosen something that was like my kid would have been named after like an Egyptian goddess. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. If I had named my child, and I would have been like, so unique, so interesting.
You know? Dude, the best thing I saw is Tainted Love later on in the show. One of the main characters is named Olga, and she went by Ollie as a nickname. I love that. How cute is that?
That's my great grandma's name. And then my little cousin, the one I showed you a picture of that has glasses. Her name is Ollie.
You know how I feel about babies in glasses.
I know. Babies with glasses. So cute.
There used to be, when I worked at the restaurant I used to work at, there was a regular that came in that had a baby that not only had glasses, but also a helmet. And I...
Stop it.
Wanted to steal that baby. 100%. It was the cutest baby I've ever seen in my life.
Like, is this one for sale? No, lady, that's not how this works.
Well, this is My Worst Date. I'm Christina.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Cassie.
And we have a new patron. Want to give a shout out to Brittany Armstrong. Welcome to our Patreon crew. We are super stoked to have you. Please reach out to us anytime with any suggestions for any content that you would like to see on Patreon, and we will get your rewards out to you very soon.
So, yeah, who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
Oh, man. just silence. You know what I was actually thinking today? I, like, stumbled across a video. Oh gosh, I forgot this existed. It was just completely blocked from my memory. Of Jessica Simpson did a music video that had, like, Christina Applegate was in it. Like, a bunch of, like, early 2000s celebrities were in this music video. And it made me think about, like, the pop star wars of that time. Like, I know we did, I think we did Christina and Britney, but I don't know that we did, like, Mandy Moore, Jessica Simpson, like, Brandy, Monica, like, all of those, like, pop stars in the early 2000s.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hmm. No, that's a tough one. That was, and I think, too, for you, Keegan, you were kind of outside the pop game a little bit, too, by the time that came around, because you went emo. You were a Hot Topic.
I went emo, but, you know, it just got me, right? Like, because I made the very conscious decision to move over to skater emo culture, Hot Topic culture in, like, 2002.
Yeah.
So 2001, I was still kind of like, in 2001, I was still rocking a lot of Limited 2 pink rhinestones, you know? They caught me right then. So I got a little bit of that.
Yeah. Around that time, I think Dr. Dre's The Chronic 2000
Hell yeah.
dropped. So that was me. I got really into rap and R&B in like 2000, 2001. That's where I was at.
Do you want to
already in that
fuck, marry, kill our favorite early 2000s albums? Because I remember Ooh. Distinctly around that time what mine was. Let me pull
it
up.
Go for it. Yeah.
Hold on. I just got to remember what the album was called.
I just remember it because it was my senior year, the year 2000. And it was like, that was the big thing. Everybody memorized that album.
Yeah, that was definitely on my...
For me, it was Alicia Keys' Songs in A Minor. I had Aww. That album. I had that CD. I listened to that CD. What year did that come out? That had to have come out in like 2001.
That's a good one.
Yeah, exactly. June 5th, 2001 is when that album came out. Yes. And I had it. And because I was one of the only black kids in my school and I wore my hair like that, like all those like intricate cornrows. So everyone called me Alicia Keys at school. And I think a friend of mine bought me that CD and I didn't own a lot of CDs. So I wore that CD out.
Do you remember my first car? I remember duct taping a Walkman that had skip protection.
Oh, God.
And had the thing that you could put in the tape player so you could play God. CDs yes. in your car.
Oh, my yes. gosh. Amazing. Oh, that sucks. Yeah, because you wanted, if you had a car that had a cassette player and only a cassette player, but you had a CD mm-hmm. player at home, you had to either buy both of them, yep. like buy a CD and a cassette. So you could play one in your car and one at home, or you had to do something like that.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we were all MacGyver in the 90s.
My album is 1999. Can I count that?
Yes. It's basically the same. It bleeds in, I think.
I feel like it. Because the one that came up around that time for me was Lynn, You Can't Stop the Bum Rush. Okay. And everybody knew. Steal My Sunshine.
Oh, it's the only one I know.
It's the only one I know.
But I loved that fucking album, like all the way through. I don't know why. It just was fun. It was a party. I, like you said, I'd have it on in my, you know, tape to CD conversion.
You know, speaking
and
of
play the shit out of it.
Speaking of karaoke, that's a good karaoke jam. I've done that one before. Steal My Sunshine. Oh, fun.
Yeah. But it's a duet, right? You'd need a yeah. guy and a girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You got to have someone to bounce off of for that one. Okay. Oh, all wow. right.
Well, this is the most random fuck,
it
marry,
is
kill.
The God, most random honestly. Fuck. And also, like, weirdly specific. Like, there's going to be an entire, like, demographic who's like, what? You know?
For at exactly. least,
like, a couple of these, you know? Well, I guess I will clarify as well, because Songs in A Minor had like Fallen on it.
Mm-hmm.
It had like yep, A Woman's so Worth good. On it. So like those are maybe some ones that if you're like, which album is she talking about? It's that one.
Well, I know what I'm going to do.
I think I know too.
All right.
Because you marry Songs in A Minor. That is a fucking beautiful album.
Yeah.
Beautiful vocals. And it just kind of carries you through. There's like ups, there's downs, but it's rock solid.
She's playing the whole thing on a piano.
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of talent going on there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm marrying that album. I'm going to fuck with Dr. Dre's Chronic 2000. Because it's going to be, it's going to be wild. Maybe too wild for me. I like to play like I'm like wild and out. But
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a little scared.
Scary.
I'm a little scared to fuck Chronic, like I'm like this. I'm
yeah,
like,
she had Eminem on it.
Yeah,
that's dangerous.
This is the album where you're like, or this is the fuck where you're like, you go over to this party, maybe kind of knowing it's a bad idea. You have a really good time, but then you end up in jail.
Yeah, like somebody hands you a blunt or whatever, and then like, just all goes downhill. Yeah, but I'm gonna do it. It's I picture. Yeah, it's gonna be wild. It might be too wild, but it's gonna be a good time. And then I gotta say, I'm gonna kill Lynn. I'm gonna kill it.
You don't know Lynn like I do.
I don't, and that's the problem. They're a stranger, and I'm probably not judging them correctly. So lay it on me.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm a little surprised with myself. I am also going to marry songs in A minor. I feel like it's steady. It's all those things that you said. Alicia Keys is beautiful and she's talented. And, you know, it's going to be a rock for you, you know. I'm actually, and I don't know Len like Cassie knows Len, but I'm curious. I feel
it's
like
fun.
I feel like it's fun. Like, I feel like it's a rave. You know, and I'm like, that seems
you're
like
gonna
a
wear JNCO good jeans.
Time. JNCOs?
Are there frosted tips involved?
There's frosted tips likely. Involved. There's definitely like some pastel hair colors involved. A lot of manic panic I'm seeing, and then a lot of those like bracelets that everybody, those candy bracelets that everybody wore to raves.
100%.
So I'm really feeling like we're going to listen to some electronic music and have a really long sex night. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Weird stuff is going to happen.
Got me second guessing myself.
Yeah. Weird stuff is going to happen with Len. Like, I feel it.
But you probably won't get arrested as well.
No, but you probably won't get arrested. Like, right. It's you know.
No, it's cheeky fun. Yes. It's not criminal.
It's shenanigans.
It's shenanigans. That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Tomfoolery.
Yeah, there's a lava lamp and a black light for sure. Yeah.
100%. In fact, they actually have the poster for the Chronic. It's not even out yet. They have the poster with the black light on it.
They have the black light poster.
They got it from Spencer's Gifts.
Oh, oh my God.
They are the Spencer's Gifts of albums.
Yes. And the only song I know is Still My Sunshine, but you know what? It's a bop. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I'm a little like sweaty and nervous even saying this because Chronic is amazing. Like, that album is so good. But I really feel like you can't marry it for sure. And fucking it is a little scary. Like, I do feel like at any moment.
It is. It's dark.
I could get shot. So I'm just going to I'm not even going to say I'm going to kill it, all right? I'm just going to back away. I'm just going to opt out. You know?
Yeah. Like, going to ghost.
Yeah. Fade distance. Out. Bye.
Just me as Homer Simpson into a hedge.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, I will say of the three albums, I actually think that The Chronic is the best one as far as like it has stood the test of time and I can enjoy it at any time.
Still.
Yes, but in this scenario as people, no.
I hands down agree. I think that The Chronic has the best longevity. Oh God, that's so hard to say because honestly, I could all three of these albums listen to top to bottom all the way through without skipping a song and be delighted at the end of it.
They're three different moods. They're very distinct moods, right?
That's
like,
the thing, right? Yeah. That's the hard part. And because they are all top to bottom albums, this is in no way for me to like say one's necessarily better than the other. But I do agree with you, Keegan and Christina. I think that you have to marry the Alicia Keys. It is sensual. It's soft. It's loving. It's hitting that mood, right? Which you're like, can I live with this forever? Yeah, that I can do.
Yeah.
And I do feel like if it was Fuck, Marry, Friend, I would already friend the Lynn album because that is good times, good fun, hanging out with friends. That is the top down on your car, driving through the hills, just top of the lungs singing. Like that's
I bet Len is really good at finger blasting.
Oh, so good. All sounds, of them.
Sounds like a banger, you know?
Yeah. But and for this scenario, I think I got to do the same thing. I think I have to fuck Len because a friend isn't an option and I have to slowly back away from The Chronic.
Right.
It's Eminem that scares me the most.
Me too. Me too. That's what I was going to say. It's Eminem who's actually going to get you in real trouble here. Like,
scary.
You know, especially
on The Chronic.
Especially like early 2000s Eminem did not give a single fuck about
fuck you Debbie
anything. Yeah, and I'm like I can't bring
scary.
That energy into my bedroom or my life. Like,
Dude, speaking of energy in the bedroom, there was a TikTok I saw today about somebody listening to, there was a woman who was listening to Phil Collins in the air tonight who was going off about how much she loved it. And I was crying. She was like, motherfucker sings like he's got rent to pay. Oh, it's just the best thing. I just, I actually love when we do music ones. It makes me so happy.
I love watching Zoomers discover things like that. You know, like things like that. It's amazing. Here, letting them hear that drum beat for the first time and just be like, oh, shit.
Yeah. No, that song is a bop. It still is. It always will be. Yeah. I actually, Eric and I have spent a lot of time watching YouTube videos of people, like hip hop people, discovering like old school rock songs and seeing it. Like, I love watching their reactions.
How long
to
did
stuff
we
like
watch
that.
The reactions to the Rage Against the Machine?
Oh yes,
yeah.
For yeah. like literally hours, we spent watching Rage Against the Machine reaction videos. I was like, yeah, keep doing it more. It's so exciting.
Good music is good music, regardless of the genre. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've never been one of those people that's like, I love all music except for country. You know what I mean? I'm just like, mm-hmm. no, like a good song is a good song. You know, I definitely have preferences and I lean different ways, mm-hmm. but I listen to anything. If it's agree. Good, it's good.
Agree.
Well, you guys want to take five and then we'll come back with stories?
Yes. Sounds
good. Coop.
And we're back. All right, Christina, kick us off.
Yes. I will go first. This story I got from Reddit. So I meet this guy online and I'm maybe 19 or so and an idiot. Thought we would hang out, smoke a little weed and probably make out or something. I repeat, I was 19 and stupid. I was like, that's literally tracks for me. So,
and actually, up until this point, that doesn't sound stupid at all. That sounds no. totally reasonable.
What you do at 19. So we hang out, drive around, and get high. We are headed back to my parents' house. I was home from school that weekend and turn onto a main road. As he turns the car onto my parents' street, he gets pulled over directly in front of my parents' house.
Okay, oh, no. I missed the part of the story where they were driving. In that case, yes, I don't endorse getting super stoned, even though it happened a lot at night. I mean, with people who were 19. Don't do that. You don't shouldn't get super stoned and drive around.
I start spraying perfume everywhere because,
no, ma'am.
Like idiots, we smoked in his car and my paranoia is on overload. The cop walks over and asks if there is anything in the car he should know about. To which the guy says, oh, yeah, there's weed.
Oh, shit, dude. Bro. You know what? I admire that, actually. I'm just like, that's honestly me as well, where I'm just like, it'll be better for you if you just come clean. Just come clean.
Yep. The cop gives him a no shit look and asks me if I was smoking. I'm pissed that he fessed up so fast, so I say no. The cop rolls his eye, looks back at the guy. So hand it over. The guy hands him the bowl from the center console, and I notice he's starting to look suspiciously pale. The cop says, anything else? A normal person would say, why no, officer? Nothing at all. This guy was not normal.
Oh, no.
He opens the glove box and hands the cop a bag of shrooms.
Oh, no.
Is that all? The cop says.
Oh, no.
No, of course it wasn't. He reaches under my seat and grabs a bag of something I've never even seen before, which leads me to believe that it was probably bad.
Oh, no.
Probably what?
Bad.
Oh, bad. Okay.
My parents are now standing on the front porch in their pajamas.
Nightmare.
Wondering why their kid is in a stranger's car pulled over by a cop at 1 a.m.
Oh, no.
The cop has him get out of the car and they both walk to my side of the car and the cop pulls open my door. The guy promptly face plants in the driveway and starts mildly twitching, presumably having fainted. The cop asks if he has seizures normally, to which I reply, I honestly have no idea. We just met.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
A cop
rolls his eyes and lets me go inside my house. The guy emailed me a few days later apologizing and asking if he could see me again. Mm-mm. I did not reply.
Mm-mm. No. I'm sorry.
No, thank you all.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh, my God.
The fact that your parents are just standing there watching this debacle too, I'm like, I want to unzip my skin and just like float into the sewer grate.
I want to know what that conversation was like when she got inside. Like,
I want to know how long his car got stuck there, because did he get arrested? I mean, that's a lot of shit he pulled out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He had to have gotten arrested. You like, right? It's one thing if a cop like side eyes pot or whatever, but they're not going to side eye a bag of shrooms and a big bag of
who knows what,
all shoulders, you know what I mean?
Giant question mark.
Oh no, it's hilarious. Okay, I also got mine from Reddit. It says, met online, had great conversation, and seems to hit it off well. Met up for lunch, and it continued to go well until she smiled, until her smile faded, and she looked at me very seriously. I have something to tell you. I hope you're not going to be upset, but I'm married.
What?
Not the first time it happened. I'm married.
What? No, no. Not I heard you. I'm just saying, oh. Like, also, like, not the first time.
Stayed calm and replied. My young, terrified ass is like, that's not going to work for me. Without skipping a beat, it gets much, much worse. Totally downhill from this point. Her. No. He likes your pictures. He likes them a lot. But he's not into men or anything, so don't worry.
What?
Me. More scared now. What do you mean he saw my pictures? Of course I had sent some scandalous pics too, so great. Her.
Leaning close. She's showing her husband your dick pics.
Oh, God. No, it looks great. He looks great, hun.
No, it looks good.
Her leaning in close to me now. He likes to watch me with a huge smile. I'm down for a lot. But that one, just so much. It's cool if you're into seeing your lady with another man, but I'm not down to be him. Hard pass. Gave her the honest truth, brutal and honest. Me, yeah, I bet I can't perform without some dude watching me. I can't pee next to dudes, let alone this here scenario. I'm sorry, I'm not that guy. She loses it, absolutely loses it, and tells me loud in a crowded restaurant at lunch. I shouldn't have said anything. If I had kept my mouth shut and he'd stayed in the closet, you would never have known.
Whoa.
Oh, serves me
right for trying to be honest. And as she says that last part super loudly, she also slammed her fist on the table and stood up quick, sending her chair back and tipping it over. She stormed out of the restaurant super quickly. Good times.
There are many, dude, many, many things wrong with this story.
There are so many, because I was just going to say that's A, the reason why you have to put that shit in your profile from the jump. There are tons of people that are into that. Mm-hmm. Tons that would be fine with it. Two, for her to then get pissed off and say, well, I should have lied to you and he could have hidden into the closet is like a form of assault.
I agree.
Almost, because you're making him consent to something that he wouldn't be comfortable with. So fuck her. Sorry. But
no.
For her to get that angry, there's something wrong. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
That's not normal or right.
No. Jesus Christ. That's not how we play, folks.
Ugh. Alrighty. My story starts off with a semi-okay Tinder date, which led to me having the guy come back to my house. All was well, but I didn't want him to stay the night because I wasn't feeling him that much. He told me his favorite... This is so random and stupid. He told me his favorite garnish is coriander.
What?
Garnish? I don't know why that's in the story at all. But also, that is weird. Okay. I used the excuse of having a flight first thing in the morning to get him to leave, but he was super keen on staying and ended up sleeping over.
Oh my God, dude.
Because I had fibbed about my early flight, I had to set my alarm for 4 a.m.,
oh,
pack my bags,
and order an Uber to make it look like I was going to the airport.
You're committed.
But you know, this is absolutely a person who is extremely conflict avoidant, because yes. She could have forced him to go home the night before and avoided this scenario altogether, or just like fessed up to being like, I just want you to not be here. Like, she got up at 4 a.m. mm-hmm. and packed her bags and called an Uber driver. Wow. Okay.
And what do you tell that Uber driver? Just drive around the block a couple times. If I fall asleep, please wake me up.
I was really going to my closest McDonald's to get a bacon and egg McMuffin. I told my driver the deal, and he drove around until my date left. On the first lap past my house, my driver confirmed my date was still outside. I ducked down in the back seat as we drove past. By the second lap, he was gone. I got dropped off and went back inside and went to sleep. It was a 5-star Uber trip. 10-10 would shout my driver a sausage and egg McMuffin meal again. Only a 2-10 would I hit up the date again.
Nice. That is hilarious.
Brilliant. That's like
not all heroes wear capes. My kind God. Of sitch.
Honestly.
Where he's like, dude, if you're an Uber driver at like, I don't know, if that time, like 3-4 in the morning, you're gonna see some wild shit, I'm sure.
Honestly, you should start your own podcast, because I bet the like rides of shame of a 3 a.m. Uber driver, like somebody who is driving at that time, you're picking up people like just post booty call all the time.
Oof. Or before, I had that story, I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, where somebody was going out to meet up with somebody at 3 a.m., which is the witch's hour. Don't do that.
No, nothing good
that's
happens.
That's the witching hour. You don't fuck around.
That's the devil. Well, all right, are I'm you ready. Guys ready? Okay.
Yes.
So I actually did my tainted love yesterday. Had it all done. And then we got a TikTok in our private Facebook group that was like wild. And I was like, what the fuck is this story? So I was up really early this morning and I looked into the story behind this TikTok and I was like, well, I got to do this.
Oh, shit. So- I think I saw that TikTok today. So I didn't. Cannot wait.
Yes.
Let's go.
Yes. This is the story of Elizabeth Ma.
Oh,
Duncan.
Yes. Oh, no. I'm scared.
So I got most of my information, besides being inspired by that TikTok, I read an LA Magazine article by Joan Renner, an LA Times article by Cecilia Rasmussen, Murderpedia, and Deranged LA. So here we go. Elizabeth Ann Duncan was born in 1904. Not a lot of information I could find about her early life, but she kind of like drifted around. She was married a couple of times. It would come out later that she had a total of 6 kids. But in 1948...
That's never good when it'll come out later.
Come out
yes.
later.
Like,
all right.
Sometime later. So yeah, in 1948, she's living with her youngest daughter, Patty, who is only 15 at the time, dies suddenly, has a cerebral hemorrhage, and just dies. So then Elizabeth goes a little, like, nutty. And basically, or she goes wild. There's some people that think she got married 11 times. And there's some people that think she got married 20 times after that.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Pardon? I really feel like that's how?
Yes, how? I will tell you how. She would tell gentlemen that she had to get married very quickly in order to collect on an inheritance. And that once they got married, she would split the inheritance with them. But really mm-hmm. what she was doing was getting married to them, stealing all their money, writing bad checks, and deucing over to the next town.
Oh, dear.
She deuced her way all over to San Francisco, where at one point she was running a brothel. And
wait, what year is this?
This is like last year. Between 1948 and 1957. So, you know, we haven't sent somebody to the moon yet, but I do feel like people know if you're in the next town, you're like, isn't that I'm Bud's saying. Wife?
This is not like, yeah, it's not like.
Bud is what they call my dad.
Is that Bud's wife? I'm pretty sure that's Bud's wife.
Yeah, I'm kind of amazed that she's able to pull this off because I'm just like, yeah, it's not like. You know, it's not like 1785. You can't just like, right. Oh, I'm just going to go 5 miles and change my name and it'll be fine.
Yeah, no, there were television shows by this point. So like, I do feel like we're living in the
modern
atomic
era. All of our grandparents were alive at this point. Yes. Like, what?
So finally, in November 1957, things are getting a little hot on Elizabeth. There's a little bit of heat on her. She goes and she finds her favorite son, Frank. Frank, who with his mother's money, who she had been sending him money, had gone through law school and was now a successful attorney living in Santa Barbara, California, has a successful like practice. He's doing great. She moves in with him into a 2-bedroom apartment. It's lovely. However, when friends come over, they notice that only one bedroom is really being used.
What?
And they often see either Frank in that bedroom or Ma in that bedroom. But they're like, there is 2 bedrooms. So I will say that no one came out and said it in any of the newspapers. They just said they had an unnatural love.
Unnatural with quotes around it.
Exactly. So, yeah, things are great. Now, the thing is, she didn't really have anything else to do at this point. So here's how Elizabeth would spend her day.
Oh, God.
She'd cook breakfast for her favorite little boy, Frank. Mm. Send him off to work. She would follow after him and then follow him around from case to case, trial to trial in the courthouse and clap for him when he won his cases.
Stop it.
Oh, my God.
Ew.
Oh, my God.
What if you went on a date with Frank? Like, oh, you know, no. And Ma's just sitting 2 tables over, like,
oh, clapping for you.
Good job, baby. So, no, it's like, so his friends are like, you know, it's so weird because he is such a successful, well-adjusted person. Just kind of feels like, so they tell him, they're like, bro, you should get married. Like, cut the strings and get married because you're 30 now. What, like, it's time.
What about the judges? In those cases. Right. What about the other lawyers? Like, is anybody just like,
his clients.
This is weird.
Your mom's here, bro. So he's like, okay, he's spent this time now since his mother came to live with him, like sorting through his mother's rather like sordid past. Trying to figure out what her legal status is. Is she married? Is she divorced? Annulled? Any of this stuff. There's a lot to go through. Much, much paperwork. He finally gets frustrated one night and he's like, I can't deal with this anymore. You have to get out. She goes ballistic, takes a bottle of sleeping pills, and it tries to kill herself. So he, contrite, like picks her up, takes her to the hospital and is able to save her life. Like they pump her stomach and he just feels like terrible that he caused his mother so much pain. Mm. But through the sunlight coming in through the room is beautiful nurse Olga, who comes to take care of his mother as she convalesces. And Olga is like a beautiful 29-year-old girl. And while his mother is comatose, Frank and Olga fall in love. It's just like love at first sight. Ma wakes up and sees that like there's longing looks happening between Frank and Olga, and she is immediately like,
I just made a terrible mistake.
No.
Not on my watch.
No. She's not having it. So she puts her foot down. She's like, no, you're not going to see this girl.
Mom,
she calls this
girl up. How many husbands have you had?
Exactly.
You're going to judge me? In my life choices?
Now, This is when, like, Frank and Olga are just dating at this point. She calls Olga every single day at her apartment and is like, get the fuck away from my son, like threatening her, get out, whatever. Olga puts her foot down with Frank and is like, listen, like, I'm not going to take this. Your mom's threatening me. And he's like, no, she wouldn't do that. I confronted her. She said she wasn't doing that, and I believe her.
Okay, bye. Olga, sounds like it's time to break it off. Like, why?
No, so Olga is like, no, you know what? We're getting married. We're getting secretly married. And I'm just going to move. And don't tell your mom where I moved to. But we're going to get married, and then you're going to move in with me. And it's like, it's time. So that's what they do. Ma finds out, ends up finding out where Olga lives, goes in while Olga and Frank, a married adult couple, are living in their marital home. And she's like, no, you're coming with me. And Frank goes, okay.
Oh, Frank goes, okay.
Mom, I don't want to. But okay.
So he leaves. And you're talking about being conflict avoided. This dude leaves his wife to go and live with his mother.
No.
To keep the peace. And he yo-yos back and forth between them. He's not allowed to spend the night.
What?
With Olga.
What?
So he spends the nights with his mom.
You have got to be kidding me. This man's a lawyer.
I hate this.
Yes. Successfully practices law.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. Listen, I'm pretty conflict avoidant myself. And I don't like making waves with my parents. Listen, it's not fun. It's never fun. Mm-hmm. But to let it go to this degree is wild.
It's doing too much. It's doing too much for sure. And so Olga, Ma is still not okay with the scenario. She's still like, it's too much that Olga's even in his life at all. So she starts doing the most random. Anybody that will listen, she's asking, hey, will you kill this bitch? I'm talking multiple people. Olga's landlady. What? All of Ma's friends. She's like, we got to get rid of this bitch. She's evil. She is trying to frame my son. She's stealing my son. We got to get like what? Anywhere
frame
from
him
like.
For what?
She says that she ends up getting pregnant. Olga does. And so Ma says, she's trying to say that that's my son's baby. I know it's not.
She's trying to
frame him and get his money. Trying to trap him. Oh. So we need to get rid of her. And she's asking everybody in town, all the people in Santa Barbara, which is still like a smallish town at that point, are like, yeah, she wants to kill that chick. No one says anything to the cops.
What?
What?
They all tell Frank. They're like, hey, your mom wants me to kill your wife.
And Frank's like, no,
that doesn't sound like her.
Oh my God. I hate this man. I hate this man.
The worst.
That's not my mom.
That's not my mommy. My mommy wouldn't do that.
She said no.
Oh.
So finally, she did end up convincing this ex-con named Ralph Winterstein to go down to the courthouse with her. This was August of 1958. So she went down there and she's like, yep, my name's Olga and this is my husband, Frank, and we want to get our marriage annulled. And the judge hears their case and annuls Frank and
Are
Olga's
you
marriage.
Fucking kidding me?
Despite the fact that Olga's listed age is like 30 and Ma is like pushing 60.
And looks it. By the way, I saw pictures of her. I'm like, she is classic little old lady in like 1950s, like big thick glasses and blue hair. Ma'am, absolutely not. No.
Oh.
So she ended up getting their marriage annulled, but it still wasn't enough for her. So then she asked Ralph, she's like, hey, I've been asking around. I ask everybody this question. Will you kill Olga? He's like, no. And then he's like, when they ask him, like, hey, why didn't you go to the police? He's like, I didn't want to get in trouble for the fake annulment. So that's why I didn't go to the police when she asked me. But literally, she asked me and all my friends.
It's amazing. Finally, this is Ma's like icebreaker question. But she just like asks everybody. This is how she starts conversations.
Wow. So finally, through a friend of a friend of a friend, she manages to come up with two guys who have been in and out of jail their whole lives. It's 21-year-old Luis Moya and 26-year-old Gus Baldonado. They're not expert criminals.
No way.
At all. not very good, but they need the money. And Ma says, hey, I'll give you $6,000, $3,000 each. You kill my son's wife. They're like, you got it. And they come up, they brainstorm for weeks. This is the plan they come up with. They're going to kidnap Olga. They're going to drive down to Tijuana and they're going to kill her there. Just leave her in Mexico. And then they were supposed to take some of her clothes from the apartment to look like she just disappeared on a last minute vacation. And then everyone would just shrug and be like, well,
it took them weeks.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. This was the master plan.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Here's how it went.
I can't wait.
So they're like, great. We love the plan. We need some startup cash in order to make it because we don't have a car or anything. So we need to rent a car and do all the things. So Ma pawns one of her rings and gets them $175.
Well, she does have like 20 engagement rings, so she could spare one of them, you know?
That's right. We've got $175 to work with. So they go and they rent a 1948 Chevy, which by this point is 10 years old, a 10-year-old mm-hmm. Chevy mm-hmm. from a friend.
Reliability was not the priority.
Barely runs.
Great.
And we're talking about that's getting what you from want. Santa Barbara to Tijuana. Yeah,
which is a long, I mean.
It's a long drive.
It's a long drive.
You lovely. Want a reliable vehicle in order to make it there and back.
You know, anyway. I don't know if I would drive from Santa Barbara to Tijuana in my car. Like,
I mean, and you're not even going 70. What are you going, like 50?
In a 48. It's that. And it's a car from the 40s, so you know it's not aerodynamic either. Like,
oh, no. Oh, yeah. You stop every 10 miles for gas.
Oh, my God. The but only you know thing what? The radio
great
plays
trunk
is like...
Great trunk space, though. So that was probably priority yeah. number one.
That's good. So, okay. They end up going to her house late one night in the old jalopy. And they're like, hey, your husband was drinking with us at the bar and he passed out and he told us to bring him home. Can you help us get him out of the back seat and get him in? And so she's like, okay. And so she goes down and she bends over in the back seat. And it looks like there's someone back there. So as she's bending over, they hit her in the head with a gun and manage to get her in the back seat and drive off. Now, they didn't really hit her that hard. So she's kicking, screaming, flailing about in the back as one of them's trying to drive. The other one's just hitting her in the head with the gun. They finally get her like somewhat unconscious. And they drive. But they quickly realize this car ain't making it to Tijuana.
No way.
It's not.
No.
And there's now like blood all over the back of this car.
It's a red old bitch.
And they've broken the gun. They have no other. The gun is broken. She's not dead. And they can't get to Tijuana. So they improvise. And they pull off on the side of the road in like Ojai and just like try to strangle her. They don't know how to tell if she's dead or not. They just guess that she is. Mm. And then they didn't bring any shovels or any kind of cleanup tools. Mm-hmm. So they tried to dig a grave with their hands. Stop it.
Weeks it took them to come up with this plan. Like, yes. What? You were concerned about getting a car, but you couldn't buy a shovel? Shovel. Nothing. What were you going to do tools. With her body? What was the plan?
So they had a shallow grave and they put her in here and like just covered her up and deuced out. They took the seat covers off in the back, and when they returned the car, they were like, so we burnt the seat covers with a cigarette, so we just took them off. And
the person at the rental car place is like, you didn't pay the extra $20 for insurance, so.
No. So Olga was discovered missing a couple days later by a coworker because they had an important surgery that she was supposed to be involved in. She didn't show up for, so Olga's coworker went and saw that her apartment door was just like left open, and the police got involved. And then as soon as they started digging, they were like, oh, she has an ex-husband, this annulment, which they immediately look into and see is completely fake. So it's not long before they pick up Ma, but and everything unravels. Frank, it takes days.
Frank didn't report her missing?
Yeah, apparently when they asked Frank about it, he's like, oh, I hadn't been allowed to go over and talk to her for 10 days.
Oh, my God.
Mommy wouldn't let me.
No. I'm grounded.
I'm in twubs.
I hate this so much. I can literally not hate a story more right now.
It's terrible.
It's the worst story. So they arrest them, and pretty much like Gus starts talking immediately. He like lays down the business, but Ma's like denying all of it. She's like, nope. I don't know anything about it. These people are just trying to blackmail me, whatever. And Frank ends up defending her as her lawyer for her trial.
Oh, also, I feel like that is a massive conflict of interest.
Right?
In many ways. Like, it's your wife and your mom.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a death penalty case.
Holy shit.
For his mother. It's death penalty.
Wait. So Olga died. Yes?
Oh, yeah. Olga died.
I was really hoping that because...
I thought for sure she lived.
Because I was like, she was in a shallow grave and like...
don't know she's dead.
These people are dumb. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and the worst part about it... And I wanted to like skip over it, but yeah, the worst part about it is she did actually suffocate in the shallow grave. She was still alive.
No.
And oh, pregnant. My God. So, yeah, California was like, nope, death penalty. Like, we're doing this. So it was a sensational trial, of course. And if you see the pictures, there's definitely, like, pictures of mom and son on their way to the courthouse, like, hand in hand and stuff. It's great. So the papers went bananas over it.
I have a question.
That.
After like the age of maybe 5, have you ever held your dad's hand like in walking?
Absolutely not. No. When I was a kid, that's the last time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like as a child, like you may run off. I'm going to hold your hand.
Right. Yeah. No.
No.
So basically, a lot of newspapers were also trying to figure out like what did Frank know? What is he feeling? It's his wife and his mother in such a weird... But no one was able to really cipher out what it is. The only facts that we really know about Frank was that he called his ma Doll. Doll was his nickname for his mother.
Mm-mm. I hate that. Mm-mm. I fucking Mm-mm. hate that. If Dylan ever even accidentally called me that, I'd probably vomit on cue.
Oh.
Like, because I feel like Doll is like 1950s speak for babe.
Yeah. Yeah. You know 100%. What I mean? That's how what I was thinking as well. Like,
yeah. It's not appropriate. I don't like it. Oh. And I already told you guys, friends had observed him laying in Ma's bed. And like she would like when her friends would come over, be like, isn't he a beautiful boy? Like that sort of thing.
Also, I feel like how do they because like you were saying, they're trying to figure out what his role is in everything. Like, mm-hmm. how do they know for sure he wasn't involved in some way? Like he can't defend. Right. How was he allowed to defend her in this case? That feels like it shouldn't have been allowed to happen.
Well, a lot of things that are really interesting, I didn't realize like that this was before Miranda rights even. Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot mm-hmm. of things that have come up through the thing to like conflict of interest or Miranda rights or like all these things hadn't really happened yet. So yeah, they were just like, yep, you're your mom's defense. You're an attorney. So then he also dated another woman on a business trip to San Francisco while he was married to Olga. And during the actual trial for the murder, he secretly married another woman, but never let his mom
know. Well, like mother, like son, right?
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So wow, I just don't know. If I had to speculate, and I'm speculating that he did not have a healthy relationship with his mother.
No
and
way. And
probably would not have healthy relationships with women just in general. You know what I mean? But I don't think that he was involved in this Olga thing. You know what I mean? I don't think he was like, involved in the murder.
This feels like Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. Mm-hmm. This is what inspired Psycho, isn't it?
I think probably he had a willful ignorance that yes. is borderline criminal in my view, because he definitely
I think that's
knew
a good point.
That like there was stuff going on. I mean, everybody in town was like, "Hey, your mom's trying to kill your wife," mm-hmm. you know, and yeah.
Oh, and the witnesses came out of the woodwork in the trial. Everybody was chatty fucking Kathy then, and everyone's like, "Well, if even half of those people had come forward beforehand, maybe it could have been stopped." And most of them did go forward to Frank to tell him. And he's just like all shoulders like, "No, that's not my mom. I know my mom. She would never lie to me."
What
kind
of
thing.
What a time. Those neighbors yeah. were really like, "Mind your business." You know, they're like, "We're not snitches. We're not going to the cops." Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well, and so she was actually declared guilty after 5 hours. She would be the very last woman to be put to death in California, which she was led to the gas chamber on August 8th, 1962. Mm. Her last words were, "Where is Frank?"
Oh my God, I knew
it. Because Frank wasn't there. He was out trying to get a last minute stay.
Oh my God.
To her execution.
Oh my God.
And that is the story of Elizabeth Ma Duncan.
I hate it.
I'm furious. Wow.
I hate this so much.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for whoever made the TikTok, and thank you for whoever put it on our Facebook group.
Dude, thank you so much. I can't believe I'd never heard of it.
It
led to some other really interesting other crimes of that era, which I think like 1940s or 50s crimes, like when you're talking about like housewives and mm-hmm, all that, like mm-hmm. Mad Men type vibe, I think they're just thrilling. So I'm like going down a rabbit hole now of
you
all these different.
You gotta watch A Crime to Remember. Gotta yeah. watch that show. That's all it is. It's just like
yeah,
true crime stories from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah,
that's it.
So this is pretty wild, and it just riled me up too. You know how I feel about like, dating somebody that has mm-hmm. a weird relationship with their mother.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. I immediately thought
it's
of that.
Not fun.
I immediately thought of that.
Yeah.
I hate it. I mean, I would have dipped. I don't know if there's. I'm sure there are. There's a lot of things that are deal breakers and turnoffs, but a man being yeah. codependent with his mommy is yeah. has got to be in the top three
done.
Of like absolute. I there's no getting
no,
around this.
Well, it's definitely for me like a red flag of like how what is your relationship like with your family? Do you know what I mean? Like, nobody's family's perfect or whatever. But you know, I've also went on dates in the past few years where. I dated the guy who's like, "My mom's a bitch," you know,
that
guy's not fun to date either. So
yeah, because oh my God. Yeah. Cause it's like,
no,
even
there's
if
a
you
happy
have
medium here, and that's,
Well, of course, you're different people and conflict mm-hmm. is normal. And to have none is weird. And to have an aggressive relationship with your parents is also weird.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to learn how to set healthy boundaries. Like, you're going to disagree. You're going to have like things that you don't get along with each other about. Sometimes people cut parents out of their life. And I'm like, yeah. That makes sense as well to me in certain cases. But to have that kind of attitude and to come in hot in dates
right.
means that right. you are carrying some stuff that needs to be worked out with a therapist.
Like, yep. And I do not have a therapy degree, so
nope. I'm not getting paid job. By the hour, so it's not happening for me. It's a hard pass.
Yeah. Ooh,
geez. Well, that yes. was a great one. Well,
that yay. Was good.
I don't think I've ever seen good, Cassie so it. Silently furious. Just
oh, she's fuming. I can't so think mad. Of anybody that Cassie would date less than oh, Frank Duncan.
No.
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 No. I don't even care if you are a lawyer. No. Not interested, sir.
No.
Not at
no.
all. I hate that. Ugh. What are you guys watching?
Well, I did watch perhaps the most riveting hour of TV in my entire life, and Real Housewife of Atlanta heads will know the final reunion special for season 9. You guys, if anybody wants to reach out and talk to me about it, I know I'm a few seasons behind, but that was the most dramatic. Oh, the tea that was spilt, you guys. Oh, ooh. Amazing. Fantastic. Beautiful.
Was this the husband's tea? A lot of husband tea?
No. This one, oh gosh, I could really get into it if we had the okay. time. But like, I'll talk to you about it later. There okay. is, for people who know and are wondering, or who watch the show and are wondering specifically what I'm talking about, it is the Portia Candy Phaedra drama.
Yes.
Oh, so, okay.
So, okay. But in addition to that, I did watch season 3 of The Sinner. Gosh,
Matt Bomer, right?
Yeah, yes, I didn't love it. I didn't love it.
Did you like the first two seasons?
I liked the first two seasons. The second one was my favorite season.
Yes.
I really liked the first two seasons.
Me too.
And I was really not disappointed by this.
And it's hard because it's still beautiful and well written and well acted. And Matt Bomer is great in it from like a technical standpoint as an actor. He's mm-hmm. he's great in it. But the character is such a self-indulgent, Nietzsche spouting piece of shit that like I just couldn't deal with it. Like it's
hard.
It made me furious. I watched mm-hmm. the whole thing. I finished it. But like, yes, the first two seasons of that show, highly recommend. The third season was a bit of a miss for me. It was a bit of a miss for me. Mm. Also, I couldn't help it. There's a hair cutting scene in that show that would make Cassie feel.
Oh, thank you. I'm already mad. I'm so glad. Yeah, I was like, you didn't cut that yourself.
He cuts his hair with a pair of kitchen shears, and it comes out looking perfect, like in the back and everything. And I'm like, I've cut my own bangs, and I can tell you, it doesn't look like that.
No, it don't look
like. And that's in front of your face. I yes. hate watching people cut their own hair, or like somebody's like, oh, hey, mom, cut my hair. And it's like perfect.
You're it
like,
looks amazing. You. Yeah. No.
Okay.
No. And
that's not
guy,
how that works.
This guy, like
a little fucking bit.
He was also going through something mentally and managed to come out of it with like a lovely cut, shorn look. So, but you know what? I still love Bill Pullman. He's fantastic. It's just that character. I'm glad you feel the same way, Christina, because I was like, maybe this is my own issues with men like this.
It was hard to watch. Yeah. It was very difficult to get through because I hated his character.
Me too. Deeply.
So much. Like right from the top, pretty much. I was just like,
and they kept trying to make him sympathetic in ways that I was just like, I don't feel any, like, okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to tell you guys about a wild ride that I went on watching a show called Buried by the Bernards.
Oh my gosh, that's on my list on Netflix. It looks delightful.
Is it? It is everything. Okay, because I was like, what the fuck? It came up on my Netflix queue, and I was like, it's a reality show about a family that owns a funeral home. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes, coming out the year where 500,000 people freaking died of COVID. How tasteless is this? You all, it is a motherfucking delight. A delight.
You know what? I am not shocked that this type of show was going to come out, because there is a very weird thing. And somebody had to point it out to me that it was weird that in Black culture, like in Black families, like when someone dies, they ask who did the body.
Yes.
Yeah. Like yeah. That, and that's a thing that happens in my family like all the time. And I was like, I always thought that that was weird. But there is a very strange, like, mortuary culture mm-hmm. in Black culture. So I was like, man, it was only a matter of time before Brilliant. Something like this happened.
You guys, I fell in love with this family. I love all of them. I want to be friends with them so much. You should absolutely watch okay. this show. It is so
oh man
fun. We I binged can't wait. All of it, and then we're so upset that there wasn't more. So
like, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should write to them and let them know how much you appreciated it, because I don't know if it'll get picked up for a second season. I
can't imagine.
But
it was a delight. It was a much needed like respite this week. I also watched that new I Care About You a Lot, the Rosemary.
I Care yes. a Lot.
I Care a Lot.
Yes.
Wow. I saw that. Yeah. That's what was my.
I want to watch that tonight. That's on my list for tonight. Oh,
I enjoyed it.
It made my skin crawl.
Yes.
Keegan, be warned. It hit oh, no. my anxiety of people not listening to me button so mm-hmm. fucking hard that I was like crawling out of my fucking skin. I was like, Chris, I don't. He's like, we don't have to watch this. I'm like, I want to now. I'm here. I'm in it.
Well, but, you see, I got that sense watching the trailer that that might happen. Oof. But the trailer, and don't tell me anything, but the trailer also gave me hope that perhaps it will turn around. So I will. I'll take my chances. I'll roll the dice.
Yes. I'm going to let you watch it. I'm going to say no more.
All right. All right.
Yeah, I enjoyed it for sure. So, yeah. What else are you watching, Cass?
I watched this show called I Care a Lot. That was the one I had prepared. Sorry. Because the other thing I watched was a lecture, an hour long lecture that I shared with you guys, and I'm the biggest nerd in the world about like the cultural diet.
It's like the anthropological yes. eating yes. habits.
Like, yeah. cultural anthropology and diet like lecture, which I was absolutely riveted by. But then I was like, it's an hour long lecture I just shared with my friends. I hope nobody actually clicked on that, because that is.
You know what? I am interested in it. I bet it's interesting. It's
fucking fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. But that's the kind of nerdy, dumb shit that I like. So I watched that. And then I also then immediately regretted sending it to my friends.
I will say also, not anything else I watched, but I did listen to on Audible the book Attached.
Oh, nice.
Which is all about like your relationship attachment style. And since this is a dating podcast, I will say it's worth listening
Absolutely.
To.
Absolutely.
It's worth listening to if you know, kind of want to have like a deeper understanding of your own attachment style and the way that you behave in relationships and, you know, other people's, mm-hmm. and you want to try and improve relationships, not just like romantic relationships, but also like with friends and things like that. It's a very interesting look into that. It's very insightful. So
I don't think I need it, because I think that I'm perfect and mm-hmm. my relationships are all perfect. So I'm actually going to skip. I'm going to pass that. But thanks, Keegan.
All right.
No, it sounds fascinating, actually. I love relationship shit.
That book really like changed my outlook and my life like post divorce.
Oh, sure.
It was a big, mm-hmm. big eye opener to. Like, my therapist recommended it, and it was
mm-hmm, me too.
Just, like, a huge eye-opener to why my marriage failed, why I had trouble, like, forming long-lasting friendships, like, all this stuff. It just pulled out, like, all the gunk from me. I love that book and can't recommend it enough. So if you're, if you feel stuck or plateaued, or hell, if you're just curious, definitely pick that book up. It's well worth it.
Nice.
Well, if you have books we should read, shows that we should watch, if you have stories, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And we love you so much.
Cheers. Cheers.